Well, welcome, small flock, to our special double holy day today, with it being both the Sabbath and Passover. And we'll be tomorrow come in and start our first holy day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And I know that everyone is in this room is heard the sermons many times over about the meaning of unleavened bread. And so what I was wanting to take a little time with today was thinking of something to have in our mind as we start this week and going into the future, because we're easily led astray. You know, we're human beings, and right from the very first, you know, smooth talk, little deception, and next thing you know, you're off somewheres where you shouldn't be, or maybe thinking things you shouldn't think. But I wanted to start off by reading in Revelation 12, 9. And it says in Revelation 12, 9, "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." And I think sometimes we, because we've been given the truth, and we have much more understanding than our fellow citizens, because God has revealed so much to us, that we really don't take a passage like this really to heart. But the thing is, Satan has deceived the whole world, and we're part of it. We're part of that world. And within us, somewheres in us, there's probably some little seed of deception. We don't understand it. We might have a belief we think is right, and it's not. But he deceives the whole world, and we're really not we're not an exception to this. We have a great deal of knowledge, and God has showed us much. But we have seen deception happen and work within this church. There's people here that's been here long enough, seeing the breakups and the different things, and they came about because of deception and because of false teachings. And it happens everywhere. And we're not exempt from this. So we got to understand that all throughout your life, Satan does not sleep. He has no need for rest. 365, 24 hours a day, him and his demons are working. Deception is in the world. Deception is extremely in the world right now when you think about what's going on in this world. Of course, this really has been going on throughout all of history. You know, we've had ups and downs in history, but deception has always been in the world, and there's always been the turmoil, the wars, all the things that happen in this world. It's been happening all throughout history. So I'd like to take a moment and go over to Matthew 24:3, and this is talking about Jesus as he sat on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us when these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And the very first thing that Jesus told them, Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you." And he goes on to say, "Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and deceive many." Now, it doesn't necessarily mean the person says, "I am the Christ," but they're making themselves a representation of Christ, saying, "I'm here giving a message from Christ." And they're going to bring a deception. And that person that's trying to deceive you into believing something they believe, they may not even know they're deceived. They may believe very much the deception that they've been deceived with is the truth. And in out of their hearts, they feel this is the truth, and they have to press this forward, this truth, It could be like a new truth. You've probably heard that before, right? Different things, that these people will proclaim are truths, and they're not. They're deception. And they very well may not know it. They very well may be out there teaching a deception, and they're not even aware that they're teaching a deception. And so I want to take a little look at Proverbs 6:16. And in Proverbs 6:16, it's written, "These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him." So the first is going a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deceives wicked plans, feet that are swift and running to evil. You know, you don't see these things amongst the brethren, these things that are coming up, these first five. You got the false witness who speaks lies. I have seen that once or twice, actually from brethren. But the very last one, number seven, "And one who sows discord among the brethren." Now, I'm sure all of you have seen that. Seen one who has sown discord among the brethren. And that can lead to all kinds of problems. And we know what kind of problems those lead to because you've lived through it. You know, everyone here has been around long enough to see discord being sowed and the bad results of it. And what it has done within the church and even without, from, you know, outside of the church. And Paul was writing in 1 Corinthians. He was admonishing him because of what was going on in the church. And it got down to them taking legal action against each other. So when you go to 1 Corinthians 6:6, and Paul's writing, "But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers." They've taken their own brother from the church to a court, people that don't even believe what they believe. "Now, therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another, but why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators or adulterers or idolaters, nor homosexuals or sodomites or thieves or covetous or drunkards, nor revilers or extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." We have to be very careful that we don't fall back into the world. And he was admonishing them to the very fact that they're supposed to be able to make judgment. And if make a judgment within the church, it should be within the church, so that it'd be a righteous judgment for people that actually believe and know God and know his law and can make more righteous judgment than a judge. And he's saying it's more acceptable to be cheated, to let your brother cheat you, than to take him into a court, you know, a court like downtown, and go to law with them. And it was also written in Titus in 3:1, "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey and be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of our God, our Savior, towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, whom that having been justified by his grace should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men, but avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. And that's one thing that can happen within us, striving over little fine points of the law or different things, genealogies, whatever. These things can cause division, and that's what God does not want. And he doesn't want us causing contention or strife amongst ourselves. You know, our unity is in Christ, and, you know, we have to take time to reason things out, but bringing contention and strife within ourselves in this church has hurt it more than once. And it's also written in Galatians 6:3, for if anyone thinks of himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will sow of the flesh, reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. God expects us to do good to each other and to the household of faith. And he also wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:33, Paul tells us, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So we need to be careful about who we're keeping company with, especially if they're very much, you know, because we have to deal with people outside of the faith all the time. But there's people that are a lot better than others. And you can definitely get tied into people that you could say is evil company. 2 Corinthians 11:3, when Paul was writing, but I feared lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And that's the thing. A lot of what our salvation is actually very simple. Our lives are being simplified. We've been had the load taking off of us, and we're living under this light load because we're living with Christ's his salvation that has given us right to come before God and ask and to live our lives peacefully and to think good of all others, just like Christ told us to forgive our enemies and pray for those who spitefully use you. Our character has to be like God's character. And we could be easily corrupted by the craftiness of the devil. James wrote in 1:16, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, which whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." And what we're looking for in the future is actually bringing even more fruit. Because we understand the steps of the plan of salvation that God has put out. And we became drawn out of the world to Christ. And he expects us in our conversion to be ready to, in the kingdom, he's talking about us being kings and priests, but we got to not forget that a king in God's kingdom is completely different from a king of this world. You're a servant, and you're there to serve others and to help others. And so we have to have that servant attitude and look forward to that time that when we're with him in the kingdom, then we're going to be servants to a many multitude of people who are going to be brought up and actually taught the truth and actually see God and live in a world that's nothing like what we're living in now. But we've had this privilege that's, you can't even give it any kind of a numerical value of any kind. It's the gift that's been given to us right now is more valuable than the whole universe, really. And so we must stay the course and not be deceived, but be with Christ and take on his character and be ready for the kingdom to come.